Hello, Internet, and welcome back to another episode of JL Plays, the podcast with the host screaming into the ether, hoping someone will hear him. Coming to you from your favorite podcast station of choice, Stitcher, Spotify, or even Apple. And if you're on iTunes, please give it 5-star ratings to help this podcast grow. And also, every topic I talk about this week and every week, you can find links for in the show notes. So, what will I be talking about this week? Well, this week, I will be talking about Sonic the Hedgehog 2, finally on VOD. Also, Corrective Measures, the newest Bruce Willis film for this year. And The Bad Guys, another animated film from DreamWorks. And definitely their best so far, I think. But first, some gaming news. Game over, yeah! And what is the game this week? It is Trek to Yomi. Out now on every platform of choice. Be it PC with Steam, Xbox, or PlayStation, it is available for you. And me personally, I played it on Xbox with Xbox Game Pass. It is just the best way to play these types of games. You get it at no extra charge for you. You just download it or stream it however you want to play, and it works seamlessly. And Trek to Yomi, for those of you that don't know, it is a samurai-style, side-scrolling adventure game where your character is out for revenge, and he goes just on a killing spree through villages and obstacles and people, stopping bandits from attacking one village, and you have to run back to your village because they use that village as a decoy so to attack your village. And then you get there, you finally make it to the leader, and he ends up killing you. Then the rest of the game, you have to go through the spirit world and come back to life so you can take your revenge and kill that, you know, bandit's leader. And once you do, depending on the path you chose, did you choose the path of love, honor, or revenge, you will have a different ending. On my first playthrough, I did the path of love. On the second playthrough, the third playthrough, I haven't done yet. I will be doing that after this episode goes up, so I will be doing it on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, depending on what part of the world you're at. I will be doing it on twitch.tv/jlplay78 if you like to watch me go through the game. And quite frankly, this game is such a beautiful, one of the most beautiful games I've ever seen. Oh, and by the way, this game is entirely in black and white. There is no color options. The game is just black and white. It feels like an old, again, samurai film. It is such gorgeous visuals. And I'm glad that you could play the game two different ways when it comes to the visuals. One, where it looks like it's a film and it has that, you know, old school film grain in it and it's constantly flickering. Or you can just turn that off and just play the game smooth, crisp, and everything looks crisp and clear. And that's the way I played it. And oh my God, is this game beautiful. Every scene in the game, every area in the game looks like a work of art, looks like a piece of painting. And I just constantly was stopping, just admiring everything about it. And I truly found this game just breathtaking. The controls are a little bit difficult to get used to. It does play a lot like Elden Ring or Dark Souls type of game where it's all about timing. If you don't time anything right, you're going to get hurt. And you're going to get hurt bad. And that's what I was doing. I was getting hurt a lot. But I had it in story mode. So story mode is pretty much easy mode, where you don't care too much about the exploration or anything like that. You just want to enjoy the story. And that's what I did. And that's, I think, a great way to play this game, is just go through story mode. You know, if you want to beat it through hard mode or super difficult, that's on you. But Story mode was definitely where it's at for me. But yeah, this game again is brilliant. The directing, the aspects of every scene look beautiful and outstanding. It truly feels like a piece of art brought to life. If you're into, like, you know, a nice side-scrolling adventure game with a little bit of 3D elements in there, you will definitely get a kick out of this. This is so much fun. The story is compelling. The characters, the voice acting is brilliant. Unfortunately, no, there isn't no English voice acting. This was done by Indie Studio, at least I think it was. So yeah, the dialogue is just in Japanese. There's no English. You just have to read everything. So if you don't want to read, you don't have to really. This, even if you aren't, you know, reading the story, you kind of get what's going on just by everything that's by just by the visual cues and the tone and, you know, and what's going on in the scene. You pretty much get the gists of what's happening, which again falls back to great storytelling, that you don't actually need to know what they're saying to actually get the story. I think that's brilliant. But yeah, I can't wait to actually play this again, pick the different playthroughs. The game is short. It has 7 chapters total. I was actually able to beat this in an entire afternoon with 2 sittings because I had to take a break. But you could definitely just power through this and you'll finish it within maybe 4 hours. If that, maybe 5 tops. Yeah, that's what I got to say about Trek to Yumi. Definitely, definitely worth your money. If you're on Steam, buy it. It is well worth the purchase price. Well, what if the, I think Steam has it on sale as of recording for $17.99. It's a release day special, 10% off, or release week, I guess. It's definitely worth it. Even at full price at $19.99, it's definitely worth the purchase. So go out and buy Trek to Yumi. You will not be disappointed. And that's what I'll end it for, Trek to Yumi. And let me just say that if you agree with me or disagree with me, you can always let me know on Twitter at jlplays78, or you can always email me at jlplayspodcast@gmail.com. And with that, let's get on with the first topic, which is corrective measures, streaming now on Tubi.
Killed my little girl.
I will take vengeance.
It's payback.
Interesting, isn't it?
Do you consider yourself rehabilitated?
That was the trailer for Corrective Measures, streaming now on Tubi, starring Bruce Willis, Michael Rooker, Tom Cavanaugh, and Dan Payne. And a quick synopsis for this is, the world's most dangerous maximum security penitentiary and home of the world's most treacherous superpowered criminals, where tensions among the inmates and staff heighten, leading to anarchy that and order is turned upside down. Now, this is number 2 of like 15 that Bruce Willis is going to release this year. And because of that, I was not expecting much. I was expecting the same thing I've been expecting from Bruce Willis films that have been coming out. You know, he's just releasing stuff because he's releasing stuff. Now we know why he's been making so many films. And that's because he has been diagnosed with this disease that's going to be able to not make him communicate properly or, you know, just do his job as an actor anymore. And these last 2 movies that he's made, which is one of them is a sequel to a previous one from last year, all he's done pretty much is sit on a bed, or in the last one, the majority of the thing he did was just lay down on a bed and do all his lines from the bed. This one, he's in a cell room and he's just sitting down or laying down on a bed. It's It is just ridiculous. But yeah, the entire movie is carried on the shoulders of Michael Rooker and the other actors, mainly Dan Payne, who plays Payback, which is this world's version of the Punisher. Oh, by the way, let me get into the world itself. Sorry, I went on a tangent about Bruce Willis. But yeah, this is just a world where people started getting superpowers from out of nowhere. You know, the first things that the people with superpowers started doing was commit crimes. And sometime, like a year or so later, the world was able to figure out how to create these dampeners that will put the powers to be null and void. So now these people are stuck in prison. If you were wondering how this is how they're stuck in prison, is because they have these ankle bracelets that nullifies their powers. So yeah, so Bruce Willis was the most dangerous one out of all of them. He's a super smart, you know, intellect, because his power is mental. So think of him like Lex Luthor, but with, you know, psychic powers. And here, he's, you know, under lockdown. Nobody sees him unless he wants to let them see him. And we also have a character here who's an empath, who ends up saving Bruce Willis's character from Payback when he was trying to, you know, I guess, kill him in prison. Oh, and also Michael Rooker plays the warden here, and he is just an asshole. He's just trying to get into his final days, and he's trying to get Bruce Willis's character to hand over like a bunch of payouts, because he's never going to escape. So he's like, yeah, you're going to give me all your money that you've stolen and send it to my bank account as my, you know, farewell to this ridiculous shithole that he calls it, pretty much. But yeah, this film is ridiculous. Obviously, you know that there's something going on. So instead of a heist movie, right, Bruce Willis's character has all these wheels in motion, making sure that everything goes to according to plan, where he's going to be able to escape. But how is he going to be able to escape? It is very cunning on how he's actually able to escape, because I did not see that coming, because he has a secret power that nobody knows about, and it is freaking brilliant the way they did it. But, you know, it is just one of those films that you actually have to watch, and luckily it is on Tubi, and you can watch it on Tubi for free with ads. So you don't have to pay a dime to watch this film. Just go to Tubi and you'll watch it there for free with a few ads, and that's it. So yeah, the best thing I can say about this film is that it is very interesting. It isn't great. It isn't anything special, but it's definitely Bruce Willis's. This is definitely his best work so far in years, or at least his best film so far in years. And yeah, just watch it because of that, because we're going to lose Bruce Willis after this year, or maybe even next year, because he's done with acting. His disease is not going to be able to let him act anymore. And I think we should just enjoy what we get from him, no matter how bad it is or how ridiculous it might be. But luckily, this one isn't, and you should be able to enjoy yourselves. Remember, again, it's Corrective Measures on Tubi. And with that, let's move on to the next film, which is Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Quick stretch, little snack, and here we go.
Sonic, I love that you want to help make a difference.
Mind if I drive?
But you're being reckless.
Don't worry, nobody's gonna get hurt.
Pretending to be Batman.
Blue Justice, trademark pen.
You're still just a kid.
Woohoo!
Trust me, there will come a moment when your powers will be needed. But you don't choose that moment. That moment chooses you.
He's back!
Papa's got a brand new stash.
Since I've been gone, I've discovered the source of ultimate power.
Hope I'm not too late.
I'm sorry, who are you?
Name's Tails.
Okay, this is what we're gonna do. Step one, light taunting. Step two, I have no idea. Whoa! That wasn't too bad. Return to sender! Face it, you're never going to get my power.
Okay, that was the trailer for Sonic the Hedgehog 2, starring the talents of Ben Schwartz, Jim Carrey, and Idris Elba, just to name a few of this cast. A quick synopsis for this is, after settling in Green Hills, Sonic is eager to prove he has what it takes to be a true hero. His test comes when Dr. Robotnik returns, this time with a new partner, in search for the emerald that has the power to destroy civilizations. Sonic teams up with his own sidekick, Tails, and together they embark on a globe-trotting journey to find the emerald before it falls into the wrong hands. Now, this film is a lot better than I thought it was going to be, and it is definitely worth your time if you enjoyed the first one. If you enjoyed the first one, you probably already seen this. And if you haven't, you were waiting for VOD, definitely it's a purchase. Does this movie fall short in some parts? Yeah. Was there scenes that did not need to be in it? Absolutely. But it's still a good film. If you already seen the movie or if you've seen the trailers, you know who the mystery character is, or Robotnik's new partner is. I won't talk about it for those of you that haven't seen it. I want to leave that as a surprise. I left that out of the trailer for a reason, because I think that's a bigger surprise than people realize it is, and they just wasted it on a trailer. The trailer works so much better without it too, and the movie works so much better if you did not know that this character was in there when going into it, right? If you haven't seen it, go cold turkey with it. Just watch the film, enjoy yourselves. And plus, the characters in like the first 30 minutes of the film, like they show him exactly within 30 minutes of the film or something like that. So it's not really like a big reveal or super reveal, I should say. It's just what it is. And yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, personally, I've never been a real Sonic the Hedgehog fan. I wasn't a Sega, you know, kid. I was a Nintendo kid growing up. So, yeah, for me, when the only time I ever got to play Sonic is when I went to one of my family members' house. And he had Sega Genesis, and we played Sonic and all the games, all three games, back-to-back sometimes. But for me, this was fun either way. I enjoyed this. This was truly cool. And if you have kids, definitely put this on for them. They will love this. This is awesome. Now I'm going to get into spoilers.
Well, it does have...
Yeah, spoilers!
So yeah, spoilers. One of the major things that I did not like about this film is that they bring back the sister of the wife of James Manson, her name is Rachel. Like, in the first film, she was there at the house. You know, they went to her house. And that's the woman that the kid with the little girl, and they tied her up. Here, she's getting married to Shamar Moore. He plays an FBI agent secretly. So the whole marriage is a sham because they wanted to get to Sonic and, you know, stop him. And they have this whole sequence with them being in Hawaii and trying to rescue Sonic also. And it's all about their wedding, their fake wedding that she doesn't know about, that it's fake. It is just, honestly, it was pointless. It really did not need to be there. The film worked without this scene. Like, this scene, I mean, this whole sequence of this whole marriage, whatever, did not need to be in the film whatsoever. You could have cut all that crap off. Like, literally cut all that crap off. You could have reworked it where the FBI was after Sonic because of what he did at the beginning of the film when he was stopping the bad guys in the armored truck. And the fact that, you know, by trying to stop them, he blew up the freaking pipes and shit. So they consider him to be a menace and possible threat to the planet. So they want to capture him. They could have done that instead of bringing this whole subplot about her getting married to this guy. And it's just, it doesn't need to be there. It doesn't need to be in the film. It brings nothing, literally nothing to the movie itself. Nothing at all. And yeah, that's my biggest gripe about this film in general is that. But other than that, everything works. Jim Carrey knocks it out of the park. If you want to go from the negative of Rachel to a positive, positive is Dr. Robotnik. Dr. Robotnik, Jim Carrey, kills it here. He does it now even more of an amazing job than he did in the first one. This is insane. This is the role for Jim Carrey. I cannot see anybody else playing with Dr. Robotnik now other than Jim Carrey. It is just, he just embodies it well. He's enjoying it. He's loving. He's having fun with the characters. This role really, really is all Jim Carrey. And yeah, definitely. If there's a three, would I like to see another Jim Carrey back as Dr. Robotnik? Maybe. But maybe let's give it a rest. And then if there's a four, maybe bring him back for a fourth. Other than that, yeah, that's a great positive. He just was amazing. We also get to see, remember, spoilers. We also get to see Super Sonic or Super Saiyan Sonic because he forms the Emerald Crystal because the power of family. I guess they, you know, everybody's been taking a page from the Fast and the Furious because everything's about family these days. Family this, family that. This one is the power of family will save us all, unite us together, and give us the courage to move forward and stop Dr. Robotnik. And that's what the Emeralds activate. They go into Sonic and he becomes Super Sonic. Also, Idris Elba as Knuckles. Yeah. Why did it have to be Idris Elba? I think that's a waste of a great actor. Like, that's true. This was truly a waste of a great actor when it comes to Idris Elba. Just having him voice Knuckles. And considering, I don't know, Idris Elba was just having a bad time doing this recording or what. But I didn't feel any real emotions coming out of the character's voice or coming what everything, all the lines that Idris Elba had to say. I didn't feel no real emotion there. It was all felt just flat. But yeah, other than that, everything was great. The character of Tails is great. They did the inside jokes of the fact that Tails is actually super, super Sonic fanboy. And he knows everything about Sonic, even the fact that he's constantly spying on him and knows how and when he takes a shower. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Again, yeah, definitely worth your time. Sonic the Hedgehog, I think that's where I'm going to end it right here, right now. Go watch it if you haven't watched it. Watch it again if you did. Have fun with your kids watching this film. It is extremely fun. And with that giant tangent of Sonic the Hedgehog 2, let's move on to the main event, which is the bad guys.
On the outside, the five of you are villain, predators, remorseless sociopaths.
Oh, stop it. You're making me blush.
We're the bad guys.
And this is the crew.
Mr. Snake, Serpentine, Safecracking Machine, Magic Houdini, but with no arms.
Miss Tarantula.
Our in-house tech wizard.
Where'd you learn to do that?
Mr. Piranha, he's brave, crazy. And Mr. Shark, master of disguise. And rounding out the crew is me,
the big bad wolf.
We may be bad, but we're so good at it.
Well, this just got a little weird.
No!
Wolf! If only we were given a chance to be anything more than criminals.
If you want to stay out of jail, you need to go good.
What are you doing?
We're gonna pretend to go good. The bad guys become the good guys so we can stay the bad guys. You know what I'm saying?
It's fantastic! Wolf, you're a genius!
Look, it's a cat stuck in a tree!
What does your heart tell you to do?
A good person would
smack it!
Skin it!
Stab it!
Saute it!
And the soft is so obvious. I want you to save it!
Oh, right.
Now, that was the trailer for The Bad Guys, starring the voice talents of Sam Rockwell, Marc Maron, Awkwafina, Craig Robinson, Anthony Ramos, and Richard Ayoade. Sorry, Richard, if I mispronounce your name. Now, a quick synopsis for this is, when the infamous bad guys are finally caught after years of countless heists and being the world's most wanted villains, Mr. Wolf brokers a deal to save them all from prison. So yes, that's what this film is all about. It is about Mr. Wolf, instead of breaking bad, breaking good. And he wants to change all of a sudden because of the... Let me just say this first. This is definitely DreamWorks' best film so far, I think. They have definitely knocked it out of the park when it comes to animation and the art style of this movie. It is brilliantly good. It is this 3D, 2D, what you call it, oil painting style type of look that is just smooth and fluid, especially during the action scenes. Oh my gosh, during the action scenes, it is such beauty happening on screen. I like, wow, this is great stuff. This film needs to be watched. This film, I hope this film makes its budget back and makes its money and becomes successful because it deserves to be successful. Everybody does an amazing job. It is such a fun ride. Is the film predictable? Yes. Can you see the bad guy a mile away? Yes. Are a lot of the jokes super cheesy? Yes. But it is a kid's film. And still fun to watch. And that is the best way to describe this film. It is fun to watch. You all need to check it out. It is such a joy to see something like this again. To see something this fun. And while watching this, I was thinking like how much better DreamWorks animations are actually compared to Pixar. Because, hear me out, Pixar is pigeonholed to Disney's BS guidelines of everything has to be watered down to the umpteenth degree. Disney's lack of vision for kids and lack of vision for giving us more, you know, adult dialogue in kids' movies is what hurts Pixar. More than anything, that's what hurts Pixar. DreamWorks actually excels at this because they're not pigeonholed to Disney's bullshit guidelines that they have. And it works here. You will have, you know, a lot more adult words here to keep the parents engaged. You will have more of a adult, one or two adult jokes to keep the parents engaged. You know, there's a lot of innuendos that adults will get that the kids won't get. It is just all there, and it's all because they don't have those restrictions put on them. And that's why I enjoy DreamWorks animation more than I do Disney or even Pixar for that matter. And I love Pixar animation. I love their work. It is brilliant, but this is just so much more fun. It's great stuff. And yeah, definitely go watch this. I am going to talk spoilers now, so just go out and watch this. Go rent it on VOD if you can, or go to the movie theaters and watch it. Whatever, wherever you can go to watch it, go watch it.
Well, it does have
spoilers.
Now, this film is so much fun. You have the wolf guy who ends up meeting this Fox character. She's the mayor of the city. You find out later on that she's actually the world's greatest criminal. On top of being the mayor, she became mayor because once she tried to steal the same item that the bad guys were trying to steal, she decided against it because that's what changed her mind. Also, you have the dynamic between Wolf and Snake and how much of a dick Snake is, and right, how you know, everybody's just cool with it. You have the Spider, who's just a tech genius. She's a little bit sidelined because there's not, the story doesn't really revolve around her, but when they have her on screen, the visuals are great. Her banter is really good. Also, then you have Shark, who just reminds me of King Shark. And it just reminds me of King Shark. He's awesome. It's him and his banter with Snake and how the whole push-pop thing happens in the film. Yeah, definitely cute, funny stuff. The whole scene with the gerbils and them trying to free the gerbils is just ridiculously funny. Yes, you see it coming a mile away, but still funny. And then the little twist is going to get all the kids is the good gerbil that's trying to get the bad guys to be good guys. He's really the big bad. He's the one behind everything. He's the one that behind the wolf trying to become good. It's all a setup by him. All that stuff is just plays well. I could just see kids just freaking the hell out when it's revealed that that little gerbil is actually the mastermind and everything, and everyone doesn't know and nobody gets it. I could just see all the kids in the theater or watching it at home just going crazy about the fact that he's the bad guy. And they're like, no, because they drew him so cute and so adorable. It is just fun. Not to mention the cop, the chief of police, her role, the way she's act. Again, oh yeah, not, oh my God, I almost forgot the beginning car chase scene. That looks so good. That beginning car chase scene was brilliant. Like, wow, how long did it take them to just do this film? This film is such a joy. Just is such a visual joy to throw. Like, speaking of, you know, like Trek to Yumi, when I was talking about Trek to Yumi, how visually beautiful that game is, this is no different. This is a visual masterpiece when it comes to animation. This is top notch. I really did enjoy the animation style. It just spoke to me. It felt fresh, beautiful. I really did love this film for its animation more than anything, honestly. And I think that's why I have it such high regards. But yeah, I've talked enough about this. Let's just end it there and say thank you for listening this far. Thank you for coming back week after week. And if you're new here, thank you for staying here this long. And I hope that you come back next time and after that and after that. And remember, you can always contact me on Twitter at jailplace78 or by email at jailplacepodcast@gmail.com. And also, if you'd like to donate to the podcast, as of right now, I don't have a Patreon. I am working on that. But you can also subscribe to my channel. Go to my ways to support. You're going to see podcast page. Click on that. There's a donate button there. You go donate as little bit as $1 a month to as much as you want. Up to you how much you want to donate if you liked what you hear. Also, just like to say, I hope you enjoy the trailers the way I edit them down. Because I do take a lot of time to edit the trailer. These trailers are not what you get when you look them up on YouTube. I cut them down drastically to remove all spoilers and any hint of giving away the story. So I hope you all like that. Let me know if you do. That is all. Again, thank you all for listening. And remember, leave the world a little bit better than how you found it.